I'm Doris. I said I would introduce myself because Becky was going to, and her introductions are so enthusiastic, I knew I'd never live up to it. I've been a member of this church for about 11 years, and I'm thrilled at the enthusiastic encouragement that one gets when they do something like this. And even though you haven't heard what I'm going to speak about, you still showed up, and yeah, it's good. Appreciate it. Appreciate it all. You're such a wonderful community. Last week, Tom launched our new series for the summer, Living the Proverbial Good Life. It's a series from the Book of Proverbs, and its central message is the contrast between a good life and a bad one. Many of the Proverbs are deliberately set up to compare the choices that lead to life or choices that lead to death. And if we choose wisely, we can live a good life. And Tom concluded his message last week with a challenge to all of us. And I saw so many hands raised to take up this challenge. And the challenge was to read the Book of Proverbs through twice this summer, once in July and once in August. How is that working for you? It's a fairly easy challenge because there's 31 days in July and August, and there's 31 chapters in the Book of Proverbs. So you always know where you're going to be. And so today we should be on the fifth chapter of the Book of Proverbs. That was the simple option. The slightly more advanced one was to read a chapter and then also to pick a favorite verse for that day, post it on Facebook if you're so inclined, share it with somebody, maybe, you know, write it out by hand and post it on your fridge. And for those of you who weren't aware of the challenge, it's not too late to start. We're only on Proverbs 5. Like Tom would say, that's five teeth brushings, and you'll be caught up. So everyone wants to live a good life. Everybody likes to have it good, to be successful. And this summer we're looking at how that happens in the Book of Proverbs. By looking at different themes, we will see what advice this book has about living the good life. And today's theme that we are looking at is the theme of working hard. If we want to experience the good life that God intends for us, we know that it's going to take some effort and that we're going to have to work hard at it. I'm no stranger to hard work. I have a good German Mennonite heritage, good background, and we all know how hard they work. I am also married to a wonderful, hardworking guy. He has been a good example for me. But my grandparents and family provided me with great role models from young on as to what hard work looks like. My German grandparents immigrated to Canada in 1958 when my grandfather was 50 years old. Hard to imagine how challenging that must have been to start over in a new country at an age when most people are thinking of retiring or even making plans to. But Grandpa had lived in Germany through a war and had started over a couple of times already. He didn't even have the basic skill of speaking English. His English never did improve much, and the other thing I recall that he did not learn how to do was drive a car. I recall him driving 10 miles on a bicycle or on an old John Deere tractor to get into town to do what he needed to do, but never a car. The one skill, though, that he did bring with him that he was really skilled at, and that was gardening. He had started his apprenticeship to a wealthy count in Germany at the age of 17. And on this large estate that he worked on, they had, these are some things I didn't even realize were on these estates, but they had a dry house, a wet house, a palm house, a cool house, and a wine house, as well as the huge gardens that they had to look after. He often worked 11 hours a day and every second weekend. He did this for 3 years, and at that time he was finished his apprenticeship, but he continued to work as a gardener, a market gardener, a farm laborer, or a farm owner. Some years later, as a prisoner of war in France, he also ended up working as a gardener there. That was what he was assigned to. The farmer who benefited from his hard labor wanted him to stay on after the war and continued to work for him. Grandpa's gardening skills were a blessing to all those around. He freely shared his produce, plant slips, and chamomile tea, which we thought was just weeds in a jar, and vast knowledge. We loved going to the various homes that they had over the years, to see what all his hard work had accomplished. It was just a treat to go out and see what you could pick from the garden next door, or see what he had done in a greenhouse. He planted large gardens whether he was on a farm or in town, and invariably harvested vegetables before anybody else did. He constructed a greenhouse from recycled materials and had a compost pile going long before it was the in thing to do. He loved what he did, and it was obvious in his success. He was a skillful, successful gardener, a generous man who loved God and his family, and it was admired by all. Just to say that, you know, we all have skills and abilities. We all have things that we've worked hard on to attain some expertise in. So think for a moment about something that you were really good at. I'm looking at Val, and I've read some of her books, and they are excellent. I listen to our musicians, and wow, you know, what talent, you know, with the violin playing or the drum playing, the singing, you know, the gardening, the whatever. Think of something that you have worked hard at to do. It could be barbecuing, bookkeeping, cooking, knitting, running a business, driving a truck, flying an airplane. Were you a child prodigy? Raise your hand. Do you just have lots of natural talent? Or perhaps you just had to work harder over a longer period of time to acquire your skills to become really good at them. In the book Outliers, author Malcolm Gladwell says that it takes roughly 10,000 hours of practice to achieve mastery in a field. He studied the lives of extremely successful people to find out how they did it, how they gained their expertise. They found that practice made the improvement and that natural talent was not important. They found a direct statistical relationship between hours of practice and success. No shortcuts, no natural talent, just work and lots of it. Successful people don't just work harder than everyone else. They love what they do, and at some point do it until it no longer feels like work. There was an unknown band, an unknown high school band, who went to Germany in 1960 to play in the local clubs. I have read that they were underpaid, had terrible acoustics, and unappreciative audiences. But they did acquire nonstop hours of playing time that forced them to get better. And when they burst on the international music scene in 1960, 4 years later, the Beatles had played over 1,200 concerts together. By contrast, most bands today don't play that many concerts in a lifetime. Another example, we have a really talented son-in-law, talented artist. He's now in his 30s, and he just landed his dream job as an artwork contractor. Or like contracting to do artwork for a national company. Natural talent? Some may say so, but the way I hear it is that from the time he was a preschooler, he was never without a pen or pencil and paper in his hand. He went all through school like that. He doodled all the time, even when he wasn't supposed to, for example, like on the edges of his exam papers. And he still does. He's always drawing, always doing something. His hours and hours of time that he put into that skill paid off for him. When you read through the book of Proverbs, the overriding theme there on work is that hard work pays off. Hard work is profitable, period. Listen to some of these proverbs. Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Or another translation says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to extreme poverty. Here's that contrasting that we were talking about in the Proverbs. Hard work pays off, but just dreaming and talking doesn't get you very far. Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. Wealth that is worked for is not easily lost. I think we can all think of the examples of the lottery winners who are a year later have absolutely nothing. They're back where they started. A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasies ends up in poverty. Hard workers have plenty to eat. They also have the other basic essentials that we need, which is, you know, food, clothing, and shelter. 21:5 says, good planning and hard work leads to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Hard work here is touching on another theme that we will look at this summer, and that's making good plans. Choose wisdom. Choose wise actions. Work hard, not laziness. The Proverbs are very practical. Diligence leads to profit. This is a principle of life, and people with wisdom work hard. 11:18 says, bad work gets paid with a bad check. Good work gets solid pay. Easy come, easy go, but steady diligence pays off in 13:11. So how does hard work pay off? We've seen some of the ways hard work pays off in these verses. Work is profitable. You'll have enough to eat. You'll gain a good paycheck. And here's some more ways. 22:29 says, do you see truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. So your hard work pays off with elevations of position or possibly promotions in your job. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Leadership will come your way when you work hard. You'll find yourself in a position to influence others. Work hard, your integrity goes up, and so does your influence with people. 10:4. Lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. Lazy people want much, but get little. But those who work hard will prosper. Hard workers get rich. The Proverbs doesn't back down from this. Generally speaking, rich people have worked very hard over a long time to acquire their wealth. Wealth comes with hard work, but we're talking about more than just the riches of money. We're talking about the riches of a rewarding career, a hobby, or successful relationships with your spouse, with your children, with family, with the people around you, and even the richness of good health. Working hard in any area of your life will pay off, not just your paid job. So what's the alternative to hard work? Is there one? There is another payoff out there, and it's the result of the foolish choices we make. What do the Proverbs have to say about those who don't want to work, don't want to put in their 10,000 hours, or don't want to do what it takes to succeed? They're just going to sit around and wait for life to happen, or maybe wait for that lottery ticket win. The writers of the Proverbs have some pretty vivid pictures of where the foolishness of laziness will lead. And here's one that Tom shared with us last week. Lazy people irritate their employers like vinegar to the teeth or smoke in the eyes. Any employers here experience that one? A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. Lazy people sleep soundly. I don't sleep very soundly, but I'm not sure how hardworking I am anymore. Lazy people sleep soundly, but idleness leaves them hungry. Lazy people take food in their hand, but don't even lift it to their mouth. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. If you love sleep, you will end in poverty. Keep your eyes open, and there will be plenty to eat. A wise youth harvests in the summer. But one who sleeps during harvest is a disgrace. Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they find. That's some pretty harsh words about lazy people. They irritate like smoke. They're a destroyer. They end in poverty. They're a disgrace. They don't cook what they catch. Hard work pays off, but laziness has its payoff too. The real question of the Proverbs is, which payoff do you want? The fact is that everybody wants the hard work payoff. We all want to achieve success. Are we willing to choose the way of wisdom and work hard? Most of us are willing to work hard for a day or two, but the reality is that hard work is for the long term. Ask those of us that are heading towards 60 and over and are still working hard and wishing we didn't have to, right? It's a long haul. But the rewards of working hard at your paid job definitely keep us motivated. But hard work applies to the whole of our lives. Do we work hard in our marriages, loving and respecting each other? Are we kind to that unfriendly neighbor? How about the hard work of raising kids? That's a long term. We can't give them up after the first 3 years. How about caregiving elderly parents? Working at that job that you've gotten tired of? How about finishing that term paper? Struggling through depression or an undiagnosed illness? Another round of music practice? How about working hard at being a good steward of our finances or the things that we already have, the wealth that we have already acquired? Working hard at our prayer life or working hard at understanding our Christian faith? Some of you are unable to work because of physical trauma or for physical or emotional health reasons. Hard work is going to look different to you. I know people who have significant emotional and health issues who struggle valiantly just every day to just make it up in the morning, get out for breakfast, keep a meal down. Things are pretty tough for them, but they keep trying. They work hard at it. You should not feel guilty if your situation looks different than that of your neighbors. And yes, hard work is profitable unless one becomes exclusively focused on it at the expense of everything else, at the expense of your marriage, your health, your family. Hard work yields a profit, but it's not the only thing in life that matters. Will you choose the good life, the wise life of hard work and its benefits? Or choose the foolishness of laziness? Both have results. Both pay off. Which do you want? Can you identify an area in your life that you have felt like giving up in, or perhaps would like to see some more changes in to be more successful in? The wisdom of working hard applies to your situation wherever you are. If you want to see the payoff of hard work, what do you need to do then? What's the first small step that you need to take today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, on your path to making a change? You may be only at that 2,000-hour mark in your challenge. It takes time, effort, and commitment to succeed. There may be days when you feel that things aren't working in spite of your best efforts. But hard work, your commitment, will pay off. Take a moment to think about the changes that you would like to see. Imagine where you could be in 5 or 10 years experiencing the payoff of your hard work. This will help our 275 look a little better. The wisdom of the Proverbs is that hard work pays off over time. You will be successful if you work hard. We see it in the Proverbs, and we have seen it happen in real life. For those of you who work so hard and you have seen the results, keep on and encourage the rest of us. To the discouraged hard worker, I would say, keep on, your effort will be rewarded. God is with you, He sees you, knows your heart. Ask for wisdom and strength to continue on. And for those disinclined to work, read the Proverbs. Hard work pays off. And as for me, I figure that in about another 9,850 hours of practice, I might just have sufficiently mastered the skill of putting a sermon together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the wisdom of the Proverbs on the matter of working hard and for the encouragement that it is to us. I just ask that you would bless our efforts and grant us success in the things we have chosen to undertake and the changes that we choose to make. Father, give us hope and strength where there is little, and may we do everything wholeheartedly for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave.